What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob, we'll get to what I wanted to talk about here coming up momentarily, but I want to ask you this question. So, down at Big 12 Media Day, there is this company. They got every coach in the Big 12 to answer this question. I'll give you the scenario and see how you will answer it. Your team is down 15. You score a touchdown. There's 4 minutes left on the clock. Do you kick the extra point or do you go for two? So this is actually pretty cool. They were recording it. They were getting coaches' opinions. We were kind of finding out how they would handle this in-game situation. What would you do? Your team is down 15. You score a touchdown. There's 4 minutes left on the clock. Are you kicking the extra point or are you making the attempt to go for two?
I've always been, I think the analytics community and me see this one different. I've always been a go for two on the second touchdown one. Now, if I was down 14, I'm going for two immediately. There's no harm, no foul. But I'm going to wait on the two-point attempt because if I miss, there are enough possessions left in the game for me to catch up two touchdowns. So down 15, 4 minutes to go. I kick the extra point. I'm now down by eight. I try to get a stop, a score, and a two-pointer to tie the game. That's how I play it. I would imagine the analytics community doesn't see it that way, but that's how I would handle it.
Yeah, that's how I would handle it too. The only time I would say that I'm pretty aggressive with going for two is when you got an opportunity to go up nine. Like, it grinds my gears when a team takes a 7-point lead, they have an opportunity to go for a 2-point conversion to go up nine as opposed to going to eight, and they choose to kick the extra point. Being up nine is drastically different than being up eight, and the risk is justified by the reward of it in that scenario. To me, you gotta always go forward in that scenario when you got a chance to go up two possessions versus one, and all you have to do is convert a 2-yard play. I would kick the extra point here too. I mean, I understand the logic if you would go for it. Well, if we don't get it here, we got another chance to get it on the back end, so you get two chances to get the 2-point conversion as opposed to one chance. I just don't have it in me. I'm kicking the extra point there. I'm hoping that we get a stop. And then if we score another touchdown, now we need a 2-point conversion, I'm drawing up my best play. Hey, this is what I live for. I got one play that can send us to overtime. Hand me the clipboard. Let's get going. Guys, huddle around. This is what we're about to do. I can't go for the two there. I actually think the math probably tells you to go for it there. I'm not 100% certain, but I actually think the math probably tells you that because it gives you two chances to get a 2-point conversion as opposed to the one chance on the second end. It's a really, really good question. I'll try to find, Rob, what Lance Leipold said and what his answer to that question was. Maybe we could ask him next week on the show when he joins us for Jayhawk Day on the Drive, but I thought it was an interesting question, one that you would appreciate. Now, Rob, I'm not sure if you listened to a lot of 50 Cent back in the day. You know, I'm not 100% sure, but there was a song he had. It was called Wanksta. It was a very popular tune. And on this song, he said, "Damn, homie, in high school, you was the man, homie. What happened to you?" And I was thinking about that as I was reading this story, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So Scott Frost is no longer the coach at Nebraska. Scott Frost is now the coach at UCF. He was at UCF before. Things didn't work in Nebraska, and now he's out of there. So he's down at Big 12 Media Day. Yes, UCF is in the Big 12. It's still weird. And he was asked a question. He was asked, "Hey, what did you learn from your time at Nebraska?" And he said, "To take the right job." Quote, I said I wouldn't leave unless it was someplace that you could win a national championship. I got tugged in a direction to try to help my alma mater, and I really didn't want to do it. It wasn't a good move. I'm lucky to get back to a place where I was a lot happier. Now, I'm not here to defend the Nebraska Cornhuskers, because I'll be honest, it warms my heart that they're not good. They used to terrorize Missouri. They terrorized you if you're a Wildcat. They terrorized you if you were a Jayhawk. They used to smack all three of our teams up. So I don't like Nebraska. I'm happy that Nebraska is losing. But if there's anybody that should know the level of expectations in Lincoln, isn't it Scott Frost, who was a quarterback in the 90s? Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot more fun at UCF. No one cares if you win or lose. You just get to hang out in Orlando all day. It's sunshiny every day. I mean, if the college football team's not good, it's okay. We'll just go to the beach. If you're not good in Nebraska, there's nothing else to do. It's Lincoln, Nebraska in October. What other activities do you think we have? So, yeah, I'm sure it's more fun. It's no pressure. You win 7-8 games every year at UCF. They build a statue and you got unlimited job support. Of course it's harder at Nebraska. They actually got expectations to win. This is what I want to do, Rob. I'm nominating them as my damn homie in high school. You was the man homie award. When you and I were in high school, Nebraska was the big bad wolf. I mean, they beat Missouri, what, 30-something times in a row. Beat Kansas, beat K-State, the flea kicker, national championships, the black shirts, Tom Osborne, the triple option, Tommy Frazier, Lawrence Phillips. I mean, Nebraska was the truth when you and I was in high school. I didn't want to tell anybody, but I used to love Eric Crouch. Man, that triple option, he would go out there and run. Oh, my goodness. I low-key kind of liked Eric Crouch, even though I didn't like Nebraska. But we've seen them completely fall off in a way. And I actually like their new coach, Matt Rhule. But for the purposes of this, you fell off. You haven't been good since 2002. You want to know what the real turn for Nebraska was? It was that stretch. Remember, Rob, when they got thumped by Colorado in the final game of the regular season? They still made the national championship. And then Miami took them out back and gave them a little bit more. Pow, pow, was beating the mess out of Nebraska that day. That was really the end of the Nebraska dynasty. They've never recovered from the thumping they got from the Miami Hurricanes. So I'm nominating them for this award. In high school, Nebraska was arguably the best college program in the country. And for the last 25 years, they've just been mid. That's who I'm suggesting. Who are you suggesting?
Ooh, that's a great... Oh, Syracuse. Syracuse basketball. Does anyone know who the coach of Syracuse basketball is right now? Does anyone know anything about Syracuse basketball right now? Carrington, when we were coming up, they were part of the storied, the allure, the magic that is the Big East. They won a national title because against some team, I can't remember, doesn't matter. They won a national title. They had Carmelo. They had Jerry McNamara. They were a staple of the Big East. They were battling for Final Fours. They had a Hall of Fame coach, the 2-3 zone, like, it was a thing when we were kids. When college basketball was bigger, it was Duke, Carolina, Kansas, all the blue bloods. But right there on that second tier was Syracuse. And people talked about Syracuse like, is it a blue blood? Is it just outside of blue blood? Remember when they went to the ACC and they sold out the football, like they opened up the whole dome to have 70,000 watch Duke and Syracuse? Do you know anything about Syracuse basketball today?
Yeah, they got Carmelo's kid coming.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll be great at 15 and 18.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's why. That's hate.
They're going to be AC. I guess they're going to be ACC Rutgers from last year.
They're in the ACC.
Syracuse is an ACC.
I don't know
team.
What conference they're in anymore. Syracuse done changed leagues so many times. I don't know what league they're in. Big East, ACC. You could have told me anything. You could have told me Syracuse is in the Sun Belt. It would have made sense to me. The last time that Anthony was at Syracuse, how did that end for them? Did it end all right?
I believe Jim Boeheim was probably cheating to acquire Carmelo Anthony.
Here
so, as always, that.
How can you be a Kansas fan and then point out when other college basketball programs are cheating?
My school was good at it.
That doesn't even make sense. That's like Tiger Woods calling somebody out for being unfaithful. Hey, you know what? You should treat your wife better. From you, Tiger? I learned from you. You taught me. The last time, Anthony, you guys got to tell me on the text line, 913-586-7965. I can't remember what happened, but I feel like they were pretty good. They played in some important game. I don't know. Maybe you guys remember what happened.
This year in college basketball is going to be wild. We're going to have Boozer's kids. We're going to have Melo's kid. Yeah, Bronny's in the G League. Like, what?
We're getting old.
We're getting old.
That's
yeah.
what it is. Text line 913-586-7965. Who are you nominating for? You were really good when I was in high school and you're not good anymore. Nebraska is my pick. Syracuse is your pick. Syracuse is a good one.
I mean, they were we as sports fans knew everything about their defense, their coach. We knew everything about them. Do they play zone still up there? Does anyone even know?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. You know what the number one overall pick might be? The number one overall pick might be the Chicago Bulls. It might be the Bulls.
They had a small renaissance with Rose, though.
Yeah, they had a little bit. They had a little something, but it's...
Actually, you know what? I was wrong. The answer is the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, they're actually who the award is named after. It's not named after 50 Cent. It's actually named after Jerry Jones. That's what it is. His name after Jerry Jones. Let me know what you guys think. 913-586-7965. What's a team that was really good when you were in high school and now they're not good anymore? Scott Frost. This is real shady work to me from Scott Frost. You only give these comments if you never plan on going back. I know it didn't work well if you're the head coach, but you're still Scott Frost. I mean, you're the starting quarterback in Nebraska during the heyday. Even if it didn't work out as the head coach, you say some nice things about the university, you go back, you make a donation to a children's hospital, and you can always go home. You would just say you weren't happy at Nebraska? They gave you $30 million. They gave you $30 million. You went 16-31. You won 10 games in the Big Ten. You weren't happy? You want to know why we weren't happy? You stunk. That's why we weren't happy. We donated this money thinking you were going to turn this thing around, and you turned us into Midwest Boston College. That's why we're unhappy. You can't do that if you're Scott Frost, if you plan on going back.
When was the last time the hometown hero returns to be head coach worked? I can think of far more examples where that blows up in the school's face than it does success.
I know there's one out there.
There's
one. I'm trying to think of what it is.
But I can think of all the bad ones, though. Ewing at Georgetown.
It's happened at Missouri twice.
Hubert Davis right now in Carolina. I mean, they're trying to bounce back, but they missed the tournament. I mean, I guess they made the tournament.
If I'm you, I better hope that it works, because Jacques Vaughn is going to be the head coach for the Kansas Jayhawks here in about 3-4 seasons. So you better hope that's not the case.
I hope that's the outlaw. I mean, Scott Frost didn't work.
Remember when you guys wanted Mark Turgeon to be the head coach? You guys have really gone through the, hey, when Bill leaves, who you guys want to be the head coach? At one point, you wanted Danny Manning. Then you wanted Scott Turgeon to be it. Now you guys, I'm for sure it's going to be Danny Manning. Someone said Fred Hoiberg. Yeah, there's a couple examples of guys that go back.
Hoiberg, he also left the minute it started working.
Oh, that's true.
And then he's also a hero in Minnesota. And I'll tell you, that didn't work in the NBA.
There's a couple of guys. Harbaugh went back home and won at Michigan.
I mean,
there's a handful of guys.
He started sign-stealing, and that's how he got
here. You go. Now you hating. They won a championship with them. Harbaugh didn't work.
Connor Stallions in the sideline won a title.
Rob, I cannot believe you as a Kansas.
There's a difference in recruiting violations versus sign stealing.
You are a Kansas basketball season ticket holder, and you're thumbing your nose at other programs that cheat. You guys invented cheating. You got the rules of cheating right there in the wing of the building. Hey, here's the rules. We added some stuff to it. I can't believe you, high and mighty. You guys invented the bag man. Now you can look down on these other programs for doing everything they can to win. They learn from you guys. I can't believe you. I'm telling you, people forget where they came from. It's real, real nasty work. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there's a couple of small things that I like to get to, and we'll get back into a very serious sports topic in probably about 10 minutes. I randomly just thought this during the commercial break, and I'm getting a lot better at just, when I have a random thought, I just write it down because I don't want to forget it. I would love to meet the person one day that was eating pizza. I'm sure it was a great slice of pizza. And one day that person was like, I mean, the crust is all right, but you know what we should do? We should put cheese in the middle. And I'm sure everybody else looked at him like he was crazy. He was like, no, I'm telling you, it'll be good. I mean, that's kind of what the pizza is already anyway. It's crust and cheese. You can't put it in the actual crust, though. Wait, I'm going to show you something. That man is a real innovator. That's what I appreciate. People who have gone through extraordinary lengths to improve the quality of our life. Rob, are you a stuffed crust pizza guy? I love a stuffed crust pizza. I usually don't eat the crust. I mean, I will for on occasion, but I don't eat the crust every time. I'm definitely shooting 50% from the field when it comes to the crust. But if it's the stuffed crust and it's got the cheese on there, oh my goodness, delicious. We need to know who this person is. Why do we not know more about this person, this real innovative human being that improved pizza? Pizza was already amazing. Somebody found a way to make pizza even better. Are you a stuffed crust guy?
I mean, I like stuffed crust. Like if we're out, you know, watching a game or something and I'm at your house or vice versa, I'm like, hey, I got stuffed crust pizza. I'm not going to like be like, no, thank you. I don't want that. But I actually prefer a nice regular crust because it dips into ranch better. You got the cheese and the crust and the ranch. That combination doesn't hit the same. So, no, I prefer a regular crust.
If we did a bracket, we're not going to do this. This is just me spitballing and throwing this idea. Do you think that pizza and ranch will be a one seed?
100%.
It's a one seed?
100%.
No chance. You think it's a one seed?
100%.
So, like, chips and queso. Great 1-2 punch.
Also a one seed? Or is chips and salsa the one seed?
I don't know. That's the question.
Yeah, but pizza and ranch would be a one seed.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a one seed. Pizza,
I mean, ranch is versatile. There's so many things you can put with ranch that's a one seed.
Pizza and ranch is a dangerous five seed that could maybe make a run.
You're crazy.
That's what it is. Pizza and ranch is like a five seed that it's gonna comfortably win its first round matchup, but after that, it might be a struggle to get to the final four.
I don't think you're finding four better seeds.
You know what? You give me some time to really think about it, and I think I'll do a really good job. I'm going to ask them to put this in my contract. It's not up for a little bit, but I'm going to ask them to put this in my contract. And I don't even want anything for it. I just think it's my responsibility. Some of the places that I tell you about, I get paid to tell you to go to those places. I think you guys know it's a commercial. They pay me. Hey, we want for you to read this. Great. I'm happy to read it. I promote Red Lobster for the love of the game. I'm not promoting Red Lobster. I've never received anything from Red Lobster. I've never gotten a Cheddar Bay biscuit. I've never gotten a salad. I've never gotten a popcorn shrimp from Red Lobster. I do it because it's the best restaurant in America. I do it because as an American, as a patriot, it's my responsibility to share good news with you. That someone decided to give me this platform to talk to you every day as you were going home for work so I can share with you good news and good information, not just in sports. Yes, the Royals beat up on the Pirates. The Chiefs are staying out of trouble this offseason. All of that is important, but it pales into comparison to one of the greatest comebacks in American history. Red Lobster was down, and a lot of you counted it out. You were dancing on the grave of Red Lobster, but one brave man dared to go where no one had gone before, and he is writing one of the greatest comeback stories that we have ever seen. And on this show, during this time slot, we are going to promote Red Lobster because, again, it is the best restaurant in America. Think of the best meal you've ever had. I'm sure you've had some great meals before. Maybe Eddie V's. Maybe a Capital Grill, you were celebrating. Maybe you're out of town and you go to a high-end place. Nonsense. Red Lobster's the best restaurant in America. They're making some changes, and I want to tell you about it.
Hello, Lobster Nation. Demola here. We dropped our new seafood boils, and you guys really, really, really showed up. We appreciate all the love and all the excitement. Also, we heard you in the comments. You want even more heat? You want even more flavors. So we're turning it up with your choice of original, spicy, and extra spicy. Me, I'm going with the extra spicy.
Extra
and
spicy,
adding a new
Rob.
Flavor as well. Old Bay and Parmesan. When add sausage, we've got you. You can do it all now at Red Lobster. And finally, shout out to the teams, our servers, managers, chefs, and operators who were able to make all of these changes happen in just 1 week. Stay hungry, keep commenting, and we'll keep cracking.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear. Think about all the things that you can be in life. There might not be anything greater than being a chef at Red Lobster and getting a chance to work with some of the finest ingredients in culinary. I'm serious. I love hearing this comeback story. Rob, have you and your wife decided to go to Red Lobster to get the seafood boil? I know she was saying, babe, it's been a while since we've gone out. Babe, it's been a while since we've gone somewhere. Have you just been like, hey, you know what? I got it tonight. Why don't you not cook? And why don't I take you somewhere special? Why don't you get dressed up? Why don't you put on that dress? Put on those heels. Put those nice earrings on. It's been a while since I've taken you out on the town. Ooh, babe, where are we going? Oh, somewhere nice. It's like, where are we going? Oh, the best restaurant in America.
And you
take her to Red Lobster.
I'll continue to credit the new CEO of Red Lobster.
Because he's doing a fantastic job.
He inherited a mess.
No, don't do that.
Absolute dumpster fire of a program.
Don't do that.
I'm talking Lance Leipold inheriting Les Miles level of
here
mess.
Oh, here we go. Hey.
Just despicable. No one wanted all-you-can-eat shrimp. No one wanted your shrimp and scampi. No one wanted Red Lobster. It was in dire straits. It was circling the drain. Enter the new CEO. He saw that TikTok loved Chili's. He saw the renaissance that Texas Roadhouse was experiencing. And he thought, how do we get like that? And he came in and he changed the game. $5 drinks, bingo, bango, bongo. You're going to have anyone and everyone like your food if you give $5 drinks. And now you got seafood boils, you're adding more seasonings. Fantastic work by him.
Yeah, real.
Like I said, he took on a horrible program.
Yeah, he took on a sleeping giant.
No.
You want to know who he took on? He is now the head coach at the University of Miami. Look at the recruiting. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't got to go anywhere at the University of Miami. You don't got to go to all these. We just got to recruit Florida. That's what, you know what? That's the analogy. That's what being the CEO of Red Lobster is like. You're like Lincoln Riley. I mean, Oklahoma, it's fine. Let's go take over USC. You can win national championships at USC. Heisman Trophy winners. Great conference. Great league. They just need the right leadership. This man, he's the Jim Harbaugh of food. Michigan, great, proud program, but they need the right leader. You guys think I'm joking, but I'm dead serious. I'll never turn my back on Red Lobster. All the birthdays, all the graduations, all the phenomenal meals with the Cheddar Bay biscuits. And a lot of you turned your back just like you did with the U. You loved it when they had Clinton Portis and Ken Dorsey back in the day. I never left. I'm still there standing alongside the best restaurant in America. If you had somebody that was coming into town, like, hey, what's the best restaurant in the city? Red Lobster is what I would tell them. I got a friend right now, came in from New York. Hey, where should we eat? I've heard a lot about the barbecue. No, don't worry about that. Go to Red Lobster. You sure? Yeah, I am, actually. It's the best restaurant we have here. It's the best restaurant in any city that you could potentially go to. Five-star dining is what Red Lobster is. Rob, I would like to share this thought with you very quickly, and this is serious. The Chiefs have had an A-plus summer. I'm serious. They've had an A-plus summer. Aside from Xavier Worthy and the issue with his fiance, I don't know all the details. I don't know all the information. It sounded to me like both parties were in the wrong. But since the Xavier Worthy situation was solved, the Chiefs have made no noise this offseason. The Chiefs are acting how the Super Bowl loser should act. Patrick Mahomes is minding his business. You ain't seen Patrick Mahomes at a concert. He hasn't been at an NBA Finals game. No, I'm spending time with my family, my wife. I'm taking pictures with the kids. We're standing here barefoot. Everybody's happy. Great. We want to give you guys an update on how the family situation's going. I cut my hair. It's phenomenal. We're helping kids. We're doing great things. I'll let you know when football season comes up. I'm back ready to play, back ready to get to the Super Bowl. Travis Kelce, who is in the most public relationship in the world. I mean, hey, you know what? We go to dinner every once in a while. We go to a sporting event. I mean, they seem to have a very normal relationship. Rob, this is your love story. Hey, we go to the game. We hang out. We eat. We hang out with friends. We just go vacation. It seems like a very calm life. You haven't heard a whole lot from Travis Kelce. He does his podcast. He hangs out with his girlfriend. He minds his own business. You remember there, I think it was two off seasons ago, every 3 weeks a Chiefs player was involved in something. Rashee Rice, what are you doing on the highway? Then you're out here slapping a photographer, allegedly. Harrison Butker, Why are you going viral? You're the kicker. No, nothing. It's been real quiet over there. One Arrowhead way, one Arrowhead drive. That's how it should be. We're focused. We got embarrassed in the Super Bowl, but we'll be back. I'm sure they're still doing Camp Pat. I'm sure they're still inviting people out and working on things. I think guys are still enjoying their summer. You should be enjoying your summer. It's your off time. Go to Coachella. Go hang out. Do whatever. Just don't end up on TMZ. That's it. The only reason you should ever be on TMZ as an NFL player in the summer is because of who you're dating. That's it. I just saw Klay Thompson was on TMZ. He's dating Meg Thee Stallion. That's a good reason to be on TMZ. Good job by you, Klay Thompson. That's good work by you. That's why you want to be on TMZ. If you're Rashee Rice, you want to be on there because you're dating Sabrina Carpenter. That's why you want to be on TMZ. Not because you were playing Fast and the Furious. That's not why you want to be on there. So I want to give the Chiefs a lot of credit. I'm serious. This is not tongue-in-cheek. I'm not trying to be funny. The Chiefs have had a perfect offseason. Now, let me knock on wood. You still got 2 weeks to go. But I'm encouraged because the last couple of offseasons, the Chiefs have just, they found themselves in the middle of some nonsense. It's always been something. It's this thing. It's this thing. It's this thing. Everybody is quiet. You haven't heard from anybody. I mean, even when they do interviews, you ask Trey Smith about his contract. He gives you nothing about his contract.
I leave it to the hands of my agents and, you know, obviously the front office staff of the Chiefs are elite. And, you know, at the end of the day, I just let them take care of it. I just have to focus on being the best version of myself, being the best football player and being prepared for training camp because St. Joe's is around the corner. And that's going to be we don't want to talk about that right now.
Look at that. We're not even giving you any bulletin board material when it comes to the contract. Everybody's here. There's no Chris Jones controversy about his contract. No Chiefs player is currently tied up in a legal issue. Everybody's coming back from an injury. This is how your offseason should be. Hey, Xavier Worthy, have fun. You're 20-something and a millionaire. Rashee Rice, hey, continue to rehab. Have fun. I just don't want to find you on the Shade Room. You shouldn't be on Radar Online. You shouldn't be on these websites. Mind your business. So we can disagree on some of the moves that they've made. That's fine. We're allowed to disagree with the football part of it, Rob. I'm happy that the Chiefs have stayed out of the headlines. No news, no anything, just quiet. That is a great offseason to me for the Chiefs. I have another theory I want to throw out there for you. Now, maybe this is nonsense, but it's the middle of the summer. It's usually nonsense. What I believe most people, their stance would be, anytime we talk about this is, I just want the Chiefs to play the five best offensive linemen, right? I don't care about contract. I don't care about any of that stuff. It's a sunk cost. Play the five best offensive linemen. You agree. That's how people feel about the Chiefs' offensive line. We don't care where you got drafted, how much guaranteed money. I just want to protect Patrick Mahomes. What if the Chiefs were thinking about playing Jalen Moore, Josh Simmons, and Juwan Taylor all at the same time? And they're thinking about having Jalen Moore move to left guard. Is that a crazy thing to think? Because if you were telling me that Josh Simmons is ready, let's say that you think that Josh Simmons is ready this year, which it sounds like he could possibly be, I don't think you're sitting your $21 million guaranteed left tackle when he's just not doing anything and he is hoping that someone gets injured to get on the field. I don't think that should be the plan for them on the offensive line. You are not getting rid of Juwan Taylor. I know that comes up. Why can't they trade him? No team in the NFL is taking on Juwan Taylor's this offseason when everybody knows you are cutting him at the end of the year. And right now his cap hit is $26 million. You are not trading for Juwan Taylor. So what if the plan is we're going to let the competition play itself out at left tackle? We'll just leave it open. We're not committed to anybody. We're not committed to Simmons. We're not committed to Jalen Moore. We're just going to see how it goes. And whoever loses that battle, we will just move them over one spot. They'll play left guard. Kingsley can now be the person who is left out of this conversation. It may not be ideal, but we've already shown that we're willing to play guys out of position. They played a potential Hall of Fame left guard at left tackle last year for the second half of the season. What if that's the plan? If the plan is we're really going to truly play our best five, and Kingsley's not one of our best five, but we know that more Simmons and Taylor are, so we're going to figure out a way to put all of them on the field at the same time. What if the Chiefs do that?
I mean, I understand where the question comes from. I would tell you, I don't know that's the best way to do it if they're doing that, because why is Jalen Moore playing out of position better than Kingsley playing out of position? Why did you give Jalen Moore left tackle money to teach him to play a different position? Because I'm trying to pull up his Pro Football Reference page. I don't believe he's played guard. He's a tackle. Now, me and you are just going to see this differently as far as like, hey, what's a you know, creative scenario the Chiefs could do on their offensive line? I think there is a world in which Jawan Taylor is riding pine. I don't think it's week one, but I think there is could be a time this season where you're seeing Simmons and Moore as your tackles, Simmons at left, Moore at right, and you tell Jawan Taylor you're going to be the most expensive swing tackle in the NFL because the cost is the cost, and we're cutting you in a few weeks anyway. The game's the game. I think that outcome is far more likely than moving Jalen Moore to left guard, because then at the end of the first year, Jalen Moore is going to want out. Hey, I played guard all year. I want to play tackle. I'm done. I'm leaving. That's where the money is. The money is at tackle. So I think it's more likely that Jawan Taylor at some point during the Chiefs season is told, hey, come sit next to Andy Heck and watch the game, and they got Moore and Simmons playing, and we'll just eat the cost, because the cost is the cost at this point, more so than messing around and manipulating Jalen Moore just because we got to keep Jawan Taylor's false start out there.
Yeah, I understand the point that you are making. Jawan Taylor is currently the second highest paid player on the team if you are going by their cap number for this season. Now, I think we all know you can manipulate these numbers. Patrick Mahomes' cap number is $28 million. I think we all know that that's not real. I mean, Mahomes' base salary is $1.25. Like, that's what his game checks are, $1.2 million. So you can definitely move some things around. He also got a $1 million workout bonus, if you were curious. Just showing up to work, the Chiefs just gave Patrick Mahomes $1 million. Great, what a life. Jawan Taylor's cap hit is $27.3 million. That's second on the team. I just don't think that they're having Jawan Taylor as a backup this year. You've done something wrong if that's the case. Like, you put yourself in this situation. We always talk about restructuring, how easy it is to move the cap around. If you've restructured a player's contract to the point that you don't think he's a starter, you can't release him, and now he is counting for almost 10% of the salary cap, but you don't think he's good enough to be on the field, you failed. You messed up in that regard. I know in Veach we trust, and maybe it'll end up working out, but you failed. Like, I can still look at John Lynch. You made the right decision with Brock Purdy, but you completely botched the Trey Lance trade. That's what this would be. $27.3 million cap hit. And you think that he could be the backup offensive lineman by week 8, week 9?
Let me ask you this.
You failed then.
I know we're up against the break. No matter if he starts all 17 games or zero games, isn't Jawan Taylor already a mistake? It's not like him starting more games is going to fix the mistake.
I don't know if the Chiefs feel that way. I'm just saying is they've had opportunities to get out of this Jawan Taylor thing where it wasn't as bad as it is right now. Once they decided to restructure it in the middle of it, all you did was give him leverage. Like, sometimes we treat the restructure like the player is giving money back. No, you can move the money that you pay me. Like, hey, if you owe me $100 and you got to, sure. Hey, pay me the 20 now, pay me 40 then, cool. But you owe me $100. This is the negative of the restructure. Yeah, you move this thing around, and now his base salary is $19.5 million. He's going to make over $1 million every game. You're telling me in week 10 you don't think Jawan Taylor is going to play, he's fully healthy, and they're just going to write him a $1 million check to stand over there and be encouraging? No chance. If there's two people I know are playing this year, it's Mahomes and Jawan Taylor. They playing this year. We'll figure the rest of it out. You cannot. He accounts for 9.8% of their salary cap this year. He is not backing up. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where I just disagree a little bit. Like someone just texted in, CDOT, you pay the best players on your team. It doesn't matter who's making more money. The contracts are signed. The money is spent. This guy has to start because he's a bigger salary cap is silly. That's easy to say if you're not the one that's paying. Juwan Taylor makes $20 million guaranteed. $20 million. We can't talk about how Clark Hunt is cheap and now it's like, oh, $20 million guaranteed. Eh, no big deal. No. Like most companies, they make decisions based on finances. We know the Chiefs do this. Why guys get certain opportunities, why they keep certain guys around, are based on who makes money. He's the second highest paying cap hit on the team. So now we just think the Chiefs are the point, like, so they guaranteed him the money in March, and now it's just he's just going to back up for us? No chance.
To be fair, I think we talked about how...
And really quick. I think it's far more likely that Jalen Moore goes to the bench than what Juwan Taylor is. They can just get out of it with Juwan Taylor. All they got to do is just take their medicine this 1 year. If they release him, the $20 million that they are paying him, they'll get it back in cap space. So you just got to deal with the here and now. But this is, if you want to know the negative of a restructure, everybody wanted them to go get DeAndre Hopkins. You got themselves in this situation. They restructured Juwan Taylor's contract to make room for DeAndre Hopkins. So now... you are locked in financially to Juwan Taylor this year. He is going to play. So, yeah, it sounds good. Hey, I don't care what guys are making, just play the best team out there. Come on now, it's a business. We say that all the time, it's a business. Now companies are paying guys $20 million to just sit around and watch? No chance. None at all. That's not the case.
I agree with you on Moore over the Taylor plan. Moore sits on the bench. I think actually Moore sitting on the bench is the most likely outcome if you were to ask them. But let's entertain this one because I think this is actually more possible than you do. You talk about restructures, and I think there's a common misconception on restructures. There is this thought that restructures are all because the player is doing it for the good of the team and he's, you know, all for one, one for all. Sometimes restructures are to give more money to the player. Other times it's to give the team more flexibility on the back end, which is what I think happened with Juwan Taylor. When they restructured him, yes, they gave him more cash today. But you know what he's not going to be able to do? Have a job with the Chiefs next year. They made him cuttable. So I think... and I don't know how Brett Veach and Mark Donovan and Clark Hunt, Andy Reid view these things, but I would imagine they view Juwan Taylor as a one-year, $21 million contract, which sucks. It's a bad contract. But if it's a one-year deal, hey, we're out from under it at the end of the year. What did Trez always say? There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. One for 21, if that's how you view Taylor, is not good. But it means that in... 6-7 months, you can eject because you did restructure to provide some flexibility to cut him in February of 26.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at it, and Juwan Taylor, I mean, the contract that the Chiefs gave him in hindsight, I mean, this is a
it's terrible.
I mean, it's a phenomenal contract with the player. Obviously, his signing bonus is guaranteed. His 2023 contract was guaranteed. He had a $20,000 workout bonus that got bigger over time. His 2024 salary was completely guaranteed. He had a $500,000 workout bonus. When they did the restructure, that locked him into $19.5 million guaranteed and a $500,000 workout bonus. They have guaranteed every portion of this contract. 23, 24, and 25 have been fully guaranteed to Juwan Taylor. Who's his agent? Hey, Orlando Brown Jr. should have called Juwan Taylor's agent. I don't know what kind of sorcery he's got over the Chiefs. I'm looking at his deal. They gave him a better contract than they've ever given Travis Kelce. They gave him a better deal than they gave Tyreek Hill when Tyreek Hill was in his little offseason stuff, and then they gave him the deal. They've guaranteed every season. They're not benching him. I know it sounds good. Play who the best is. That's not how this thing works. Yes, I know. Every company hires everybody based on who the best is. They don't hire anybody's employee or kid. That's not how it works. Oh, someone actually texted this in. Someone said, let me go back here and find it. 913-586-7965. Someone says how do workout bonuses work. All that off-season stuff that's optional, when you show up, they pay you. So all that like mini camp and stuff when guys are showing up, yes, that counts as their workout bonus. If you show up to that, you get paid. Very, very easy. Someone says, I think the O-line is going to struggle. The Chiefs didn't do enough. I know we're disagreeing about this, but I would defend the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs did everything possible to upgrade their offensive line this offseason. Everything that was realistically possible. They were not getting rid of their center. They were not getting rid of their right guard. They could not get rid of their right tackle financially. They could not get rid of them. They were not cutting Juwan Taylor. There is no world in which the Chiefs were going to have $34 million in dead cap because they outright released Juwan Taylor. So 60% of your offensive line was locked in. The Chiefs, in free agency, in my opinion, got the best available option at left tackle. And then they also drafted a left tackle in round one of the NFL draft. I don't think the Chiefs could have done any more realistically at offensive line than they did. I know the Super Bowl was frustrating and you wish they could have played better. You cannot give me a logical move that the Chiefs could have made that's better than what they've done. I'd rather be in the situation they are than have Laremy Tunsil. I'd rather be in the situation that the Chiefs are in than Tennessee giving Dan Moore all of that money. Their financial situation is a little tied up right now at offensive line. It really is just 12 months away from kind of clearing itself up. Once you get yourself out from under the Juwan Taylor deal, we'll see what happens with Jalen Moore. You've got Josh Simmons on a rookie deal. They're not that far away from kind of undoing some of this when it comes to their offensive line.
I think we see it largely the same, but maybe it's like 6 and 1 and a half and the other. When you say they did everything possible, I will say this. This is probably one of the last times I'll say this on the show. I think the Chiefs should have walked on Trey Smith. They should have restructured Joe Tooney. And then if the offseason had played out the same way, now you're chasing a right guard all offseason, which is a lot easier when you have an all-pro at left guard. You have, it is what it is with Juwan Taylor, an all-pro caliber center, and left tackle went the way you wanted. I would much rather have Joe Tooney on a restructure than Trey Smith on the deal he is going to get. I'd rather have Joe Tooney on the deal he got than the franchise tag for Trey Smith. But that's just, again, I'm nitpicking a little bit, but that's the only thing I would have done different the Chiefs O-line is not give Trey Smith $20 million. But they chose Trey Smith over Joe Tooney. That's basically what it shook out.
Yeah, no, that is, honestly, that's kind of how the contract situation came down. I mean, I really think this is the most intriguing thing about the Chiefs. I know it's O-line, so it's not quarterback controversy or a new wide receiver or those things, but, I mean, the biggest question right now about the Chiefs is how are they going to play this? It would seem that they have three offensive linemen for two spots. My question and what kind of started this conversation is, I would just try to move Jalen Moore to the inside. If you were telling me, then let's play the best possible five. I think the best possible five include, this is what I possibly think they could do. Let's have an open competition over at left tackle. Whoever doesn't win the left tackle job then moves over to play left guard. You got Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and then you got Juwan Taylor over there on the right side, and that's your offensive line for 2025. That might be the best five offensive linemen that they have. It might be uncomfortable for a year to make it work, but if you're interested in putting out the best possible offensive line, I think you got to ask yourself, does that include Kingsley Suamataia? Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Jack Caglione, who has hit a home run in back-to-back days at Kauffman Stadium. Keep it right here, Drive.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.